DRAM has been the graveyard of semiconductor empires. Competing in this market is not for the faint of heart. After decades, the DRAM industry consolidated to just three big companies: Samsung, SK Hynix, and Micron. But now they're being challenged by a new kid on the block, a Chinese DRAM monster emerging out of Hefei, Changxing Memory Technologies, or CXMT. In today's video, we profile the third of the People's Republic of China's semiconductor titans, CXMT. But first, let me pitch a few things. First is the Patreon and the early access tier is the best way to directly support the channel, plus you get the references. And second is the Asianometry newsletter audio feed offered through the Stratechery Plus bundle. Listen to Ben Thompson and me. Two great offerings. Go check them out. Now, back to the show. The Chinese have tried to do DRAM many times before. In 1975, a team at Peking University working at Factory 109 announced that they had finished a silicon gate NMOS technology that can produce a 1K DRAM chip, about 5 years after the Japanese and Americans did it. And over the years, the Chinese Academy of Sciences announced various DRAM milestones: 4K in 1978, 16K in 1981, and 64K in 1985. Chinese announcements lagged the leading-edge Japanese or Korean announcements by maybe 1 to 3 years. Despite this heritage of reaching technical milestones, the Chinese struggle to achieve commercial success in these days, perhaps in part due to financial struggles as well as insufficient transfers from lab to fab. One of China's most well-respected semiconductor makers was Wuxi Huajing, formerly known as Factory 742. After a few catch-ups, they fell hard at the 256K DRAM level. A product was not released until 1993, about 7 years behind leader Samsung. As I covered in a prior video, Huajing eventually fell into a crisis thanks to excess bureaucracy, a few bad technical choices in importing foreign technology, and the Asian financial crisis. Then in the 1990s, the Chinese-Japanese joint venture Shougang NEC produced 64 megabit DRAM based on an NEC DRAM design. However, an ambitious fab expansion was halted due to bad market conditions in 2001, and the company faded from relevance. The formidable Chinese semiconductor foundry SMIC did produce DRAM at their 12-inch wafer fab, Fab 4, but DRAM prices plunged again, and the company got sued by TSMC for IP theft. Facing financial strain in 2007, they started slowly backing away from DRAM. In early 2008, they agreed to sell their DRAM fab facility to foundry customer Qimonda, exiting the space altogether at a loss of several millions of dollars. So the TLDR of this long but sad history? Mainland China is the world's largest semiconductor market, consuming an estimated 40% of industry production. Yet the top DRAM suppliers are headquartered in South Korea or the United States. I do want to know that there are foreign-run DRAM factories in China. For instance, SK Hynix has a very large one in Wuxi, though the United States government has prevented the company from keeping it up to date. The issue with competing in DRAM, as you might have noticed from the brief historical overview, is that DRAM is a commodity subject to wild price swings. Memory buyers are finicky and panicky. Their demand for DRAM is tied to larger consumer market trends, like 5G smartphones or the ChatGPT AI boom. When times are good, the big buyers tend to overorder, driving up prices. But if things turn, and they can turn very fast, then those orders can quickly evaporate. The issue is that researching, developing, and mass-producing new DRAM products is capital-intensive. Building a modern fab of any size takes far more time than the market allots you. So if things turn and orders are canceled, then suppliers are left in the lurch, potentially on the hook for billions of dollars. Therefore, to compete, you not only need technical prowess and operational excellence, but also stable financing. So it makes sense, then, that the Korean memory makers are part of larger conglomerates: Samsung with Samsung Electronics and Samsung Group, and SK Hynix to SK Group, a conglomerate with telecom, energy, and chemical arms. Hefei is the capital of Anhui Province and boasts a population of about 9 million people. The population is comparable to that of Australia and Switzerland, while the physical size has only been about that of Jamaica. It is an ancient city and situated quite close to metropolises like Shanghai or Hangzhou but remains less well-known. The published photos look quite nice. Like a few other Chinese cities, Hefei has a state-owned investment fund doling out funds for industrial development in local areas. In 2008, it invested in the OLED company BOE Technology. I profiled them in a prior video. BOE went public and grew into a global giant, motivating another move by Hefei into semiconductor memory, DRAM in particular. Seeing China's dependence on foreign DRAM makers as a national security risk, Hefei investment officials reached out to a Chinese memory company called GigaDevice about founding a domestic DRAM manufacturer. Launched in 2016, the effort was internally called Project 506 and led to the creation of InnoTron Memory. The company later changed its name to CXMT in 2019. Hefei pledged land and reported $7.2 billion into the effort. Additional financial support came from China's Integrated Circuit Industry Investment Fund, nicknamed the Big Fund, which the State Council set up in 2014 to grow its semiconductor industry. What is GigaDevice, or as they were once called, Zhaoyi Innovation? GigaDevice's founder, Zhu Yiming, is a relatively young founder. After graduating from Tsinghua University, he received an education in the United States at Stony Brook College. After working in Silicon Valley for a few years, he returned to Beijing to found GigaDevice. They started producing SRAMs, small microcontrollers, and then NOR flash memory. NOR flash is a predecessor to NAND. It's not a large market, but an easier one to enter. NOR flash chips do not hold a lot of data, but vendors often use them for storing the firmware and codecs for smaller internet-connected devices like earbuds. This is because these chips are fast, quite reliable, and long-lasting. GigaDevice competed against Taiwanese producers like Winbon and Micronics, becoming a respected industry leader. And in 2020, Apple chose to use their NOR flash chips for the AirPods product, displacing Winbon. Zhu Yiming led both GigaDevice and CXMT, though today he serves only as chairman, not CEO. GigaDevice provided the design services for the memory and purchased the supply. CXMT would do the manufacturing. How did CXMT learn the complicated art and science of making DRAM? In a 2019 presentation, Zhu Yiming noted that CXMT's technology base came from two sources. The first is the bankrupt German DRAM manufacturer, Qimonda. Qimonda had once been part of Infineon, which in turn was once part of the German giant Siemens. As part of a restructuring, Infineon spun them off as a separate company in 2006. Qimonda had been a technical R&D pioneer, especially in technologies relating to stacked capacitor cells, where the capacitors go upwards, though most of their actual production were of trench capacitors, which go down into the substrate. At one point, they had been the second largest DRAM vendor, but in 2008, they fell into the red due to unfavorable memory prices. Despite a 280 million euro rescue package from the German government, Qimonda fails to survive the global financial crisis and goes insolvent. Their patents were sold to a Canadian IP company called Wilan, which then licensed those patents to CXMT maybe in 2019. Zhu mentioned that they acquired over 10 million technical documents and 2.8 terabytes of Qimonda's data. Like I said, Qimonda had been a technical pioneer, but their technology would have been at least 8 years old when it passed to CXMT. It might not have been super useful in terms of cutting-edge production, but I reckon it provided formidable air cover from litigation. The second source, and probably the more relevant one, came through the Japanese company Elpida. Elpida is the result of a merger between NEC and Hitachi's DRAM operations. In 2013, Micron bought Elpida. In 2016, Elpida's former president, Yukio Sakamoto, set up a consulting company called Sinoking. Sinoking hired employees from both Elpida and Powerchip Semiconductor Manufacturing Corporation, a Taiwanese memory company. They then joined the Hefei project. However, technology acquisition can only be a temporary thing. It is critical that a transfer is complete, with CXMT producing their own innovations and patents. And if you measure innovation by patents, they did that. By the end of 2017, a year after founding, CXMT had applied for 354 patents and planned to apply for 1,509 more in 2018. The speed with which Innotron, or CXMT, took off is impressive even by semiconductor manufacturing standards. Right off the bat, the company started on their fab's first building, or phase, in March 2017. The roof was sealed in June 2017, and equipment started moving in the following quarter. Equipment move-in was completed in early 2018, and they started working on producing engineering samples of their first product, an 8GB LPDDR4 DRAM produced using a 19nm process node. Is that good? As you probably know, process node naming for semiconductor logic chips, like CPUs and GPUs, that's just all marketing. But with memory, the naming still has some ground in reality. It still tells you the lithography half pitch. But companies in the industry are not excited about flagging this sort of information, so at 20nm, they started calling the nodes 1X, 1Y, and 1Z. Yes, the names are weird. So anyway, DDR4 DRAM is an older product. Samsung first demonstrated prototypes in 2012, and they, SK Hynix, and Micron, all started shipping it in volume in 2014. So when CXMT started shipping DDR4 products in 2019, they were about 5 to 7 years behind the leading edge. Yes, they were behind, but in shipping a product, CXMT evaded the sad fate of another Chinese DRAM startup, Fujian Jinhua Integrated Circuit. Fujian Jinhua was founded at the same time as CXMT in 2016, and was funded by the Fujian provincial government, so a similar model to CXMT. They recruited aggressively from Taiwan, opening a design center there to cater to designers who did not want to move across the strait, which is not an unreasonable request. But in doing so, they eventually ran afoul of the sharp-elbowed Micron. In 2017, Micron sued them and the Taiwanese foundry UMC for stealing trade secrets. UMC had apparently acquired and passed over trade secrets as part of a DRAM project they accepted from Fujian. This litigation got very complicated, and overall it was a strange legal case. But the whole thing was eventually settled in the end, with UMC agreeing to pay $60 million in fines. The case also brought the wrong type of attention onto Fujian's practices. In October 2018, the first Trump administration placed Fujian Jinhua on an entity list, locking out their access to American-made semiconductor technologies. This crippled their ability to compete with CXMT, which seemed to have taken greater pains to show the legitimate origins of their IP. CXMT has since sprinted ahead in the market. You shouldn't feel too comfortable with CXMT's 5-year DRAM gap because the company very quickly made ground. Throughout 2020, the Hefei fab ramped up production despite COVID restrictions, eventually making about 40,000 wafers per month by the end of the year. Sounds like a lot, but that is just 3% of the market. Samsung put out an estimated 500,000 wafers per month in 2020. SK Hynix did 400,000 to 450,000 wafers per month. Those guys were already moving on to the next generation of DRAM products. So CXMT needed more capacity and to catch up. In 2020, they raised another $2.2 billion from China's Semiconductor Big Fund to help set up the next phase of their fab in Hefei. In 2021, they started working on the next generation of products, DDR5. The memory standards group JEDEC published the standard in 2017, and Samsung produced the first prototypes the following year. Both Samsung and SK Hynix started shipping DDR5 in volume in mid-2021 using a 10nm class, or D1A, process node. Their nodes incorporate EUV, which is not available to the Chinese. Despite these shortcomings, CXMT started ramping up its DDR5 products to the market in late 2024, closing the gap with the big three from 5 to 7 years to about 3 to 4, depending on how you market. Moreover, it's a good product. Despite being produced with a 1Z process node marked somewhere between 15 to 16 nanometers, it has a bit density, or unit of storage per unit area, of about 0.239 gigabits per square millimeter, which is denser than what Samsung and SK Hynix have. It was rumored that CXMT DRAM units were qualified and adopted by major Chinese smartphone vendors like Xiaomi and Transsion. How is CXMT catching up so fast? Several reasons, some related to the company and some related to the product. First, the company is spending money like there is no tomorrow, investing billions of dollars into new equipment and R&D. Second, they hired a huge number of R&D staff from abroad, mostly South Korea and Taiwan, to transfer technology know-how to their native Chinese staff. Both CXMT and GigaDevice relentlessly poached talent from Taiwan and Korea. Nikkei Asia reported in 2018 how they like to target key regional managers at existing Taiwanese memory companies like Nanya, offering them a salary package 3 to 5 times higher to come and bring over their whole team. In 2024, the Korea Economic Daily looked up 300 CXMT employees on LinkedIn and found that 35% of them were Korean, former semiconductor veterans with many years at Samsung or SK Hynix. Third, the technical nature of the DRAM product itself makes it hard for the big three to build a lasting moat. DRAMs are produced per industry standards like DDR4 and DDR5 to ensure compatibility. The specs are decided by industry-wide organizations like the aforementioned JEDEC. There is some room to add a special spin within these specs. For example, producers can work out a better internal design, add unique features on top of the spec, or produce the product with a more advanced node. But in the end, it's still a DDR4 or DDR5 memory module. It's not possible to achieve the same differentiation as with logic chips, which can be built with proprietary architectures and IP like x86, ARM, or even CUDA. Finally, and most significantly, you don't need the most advanced node or equipment to produce a leading-edge product. Leading-edge DRAMs are produced with nodes in the low teens to high single-digit nanometers. A 10-nanometer pitch is quite achievable, with older 193-nanometer immersion technology and quadruple patterning. So, you can buy trailing-edge equipment from suppliers or second-hand resellers, and then push your big, young, and hungry R&D staff to run more experiments across the whole problem space to slowly grind out tiny optimizations that add up. In other words, the DeepSeek approach. Case in point. The last major architectural change came nearly 20 years ago in 2007, when the industry switched from the 8F² cell to the smaller 6F² cell to achieve further cost reductions and grow memory capacity. For next-generation DRAM, the industry is deciding whether to adopt the 4F² cell design, which is a 33% shrink of the 6F² and is thus quite similar to it, but it does bring a bunch of serious manufacturing challenges. In 2023, CXMT researchers presented a fascinating paper discussing their work in overcoming scaling challenges relating to 4F² cells. They presented an 8GB DRAM test chip fabricated with an access transistor they call a vertical channel transistor, but looks to me like a gate all-around transistor. This is new stuff, and more than a few people noticed. Dylan Patel of SemiAnalysis, accused them of breaking sanctions. CXMT took this rather seriously and gave a statement to South China Morning Post saying that this was pure research and had nothing to do with current production. DDR5 is still ramping up, but I wonder how soon before we start seeing some 4F² leapfrogging. CXMT is no doubt an R&D leader, but in terms of sheer production capacity, they still have ground to make up. The market analysis firm TechInsights estimated that in Q3 2024, CXMT had about 8% market share. Meanwhile, Samsung will have 38%, SK Hynix 27%, and Micron 19%. CXMT is projected to grow that market share, 8%, to about 12.5% by 2029, thanks to a new Beijing fab they're working on, but still remain in fourth place. They must keep on spending in order to take ground, but will have plenty of money to spend. In April 2023, they thought about going public on the Shanghai Star Stock Exchange at a valuation of about $14.5 billion. But in December of that year, they canceled that due to bad market conditions, so they instead raised about $1.5 billion in March 2024 from existing investors GigaDevice, Hefei, and others at a $19.5 billion valuation. The Chinese DRAM beast continues to see its star rise, driven forward by relentless R&D and state funds. The big three can't really rely on export controls for this one. They need to push harder and stock up cash for the fight ahead. And it can now be said, without a doubt, that China has a domestic leading-edge DRAM supplier of their very own. A 50-year dream finally fulfilled. All right, everyone, that's it for tonight. Thanks for watching. Subscribe to the channel, sign up for the Patreon, and I'll see you guys next time.